Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 161 of the war in Israel. So today's episode was going to take place yesterday. I was unavailable. We decided to push it to today. And of course, in the meantime, we got another massacre. There was another case in which Palestinians are claiming that Israel massacred people who were just trying to get to the humanitarian aid. And I think that the way that story fits into the overall Pallywood industry, and specifically how it relates to today's topic of humanitarian crisis, is interesting. You know, they've changed methods because they got caught on a few things, and we're gonna talk about that soon. And we're also gonna be, of course, talking specifically about how the humanitarian crisis claim is not correct, but should be if Israel was doing the right thing. Mark, your initial thoughts on this?
Oh my God! Yes, I've been battling Pallywood for many years now, and it's gotten worse. I'm grateful that they're getting called out and caught for their lies, but that doesn't seem to mitigate the propaganda they keep pushing out there. I think they realize that, you know, the people who are talking the truth, they have to fend off all of these false allegations. But once these false allegations are out there, they get purchase in social media community, and they get magnified. And it doesn't matter that they're not true or not. And they know that. They know that it's going to get purchased, it's going to find a root somewhere out there, and it's going to start metastasizing, and that's all they care about.
Yeah. Now, Hollywood's history is, we've discussed it. It has existed since the beginning of the Palestinian cause, but certainly nowadays the very idea of a Palestinian cause is a, you know, the first feature film of the Pallywood industry. But in this in the current war, we've seen things like I've been watching some videos from the first week or so, and you know, people were talking about a humanitarian crisis before Israel started doing anything. The narrative has been planned and it has been executed, for many years, and they're always ready for something like this. Now, they had a bit of an issue. 10 days into the war, October 17th, the Al Ahli Hospital incident, where we were told that 500 people died from an Israeli bombing. Very quickly thereafter, we found out what really happened, but also the fact that it was reported was in itself something that you would think no media organization would accept something like that, considering how quickly they supposedly counted the bodies, there were flaws to begin with. But why is that still successful? Even though things have changed, you now hear when the media reports Hamas numbers, they say, according to Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry, which is a little bit of a change, but I would say not enough. But why is it still successful? And Daniel, we have a tweet that I wanted to show on the screen as part of why that is successful. This is from the almost prime minister of the UK a few years ago, Jeremy Corbyn, who was leader of the opposition, the Labour Party, the party that is now most likely to be in power, although has changed some things. And this is, I'm not going to read the tweet, but he's accusing Israel, obviously. He's stating as fact that this happened, that more than 500 people, this is interesting in the first line, patients, doctors, and those sheltering, I mean, his people have even found time to identify who was killed. This is 8:17 p.m., so it's like 2 hours after this supposedly happened. But this tweet, this is, again, not a screenshot. This is Jeremy Corbyn still has this on his Twitter. So do others. So do others on the anti-Israel side. So once somebody has said that Israel did something, doesn't matter what, doesn't matter if you have any basis for it other than the word of savages, this will be repeated by the Jeremy Corbyns and the Owen Joneses of the world. And again, it was repeated by mainstream media organizations, who then took a few days to say, well, actually, apparently those were not facts, but we reported them anyway. All right, I'm seeing Jeremy Corbyn's face, Daniel. I think we've seen enough of that. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is exactly what I was alluding to. They know that once it's out there, it's going to be picked up and get purchased. All they have to do is leave it out there. They don't have to even retract it as false because somebody's going to pick it up and give it mileage. But I wanted to say, when you said why is this still not only still happening, but why is it working in a sense? Well, it's because it fits the narrative that I think the pundits, the political pundits, academics, and a lot of the people on the left who run rampant on social media agree with. And that is that oppression narrative where the rich people and the successful people are the bad guys and the poor and oppressed are there because of the rich people, and they have to throw the rich people off by any means necessary and reverse the power dynamic. That's their narrative. That's a narrative they've been teaching kids for 3 decades now, and it's got real purchase in the culture. So all you have to do is assert, that narrative in the world, and people are just going to buy it.
By the way, I see one of the trolls in the chat saying that Israel misspelled. Of course, they're not good in spelling and writing and thinking. But that Israel has changed the number of people who died on October 7th from around 1,400 to around 1,200. Yes, that is because they counted the bodies and then and they counted the bodies and parts of bodies. They were not left in mint condition by the savages, but they counted bodies of terrorists, and then when they realized they were terrorists, they clarified that this is not a, the October 7th happened, as you can see from Hamas videos. I'm sure this person will find a way to deny that as well. But the El Ali hospital bombing is something that literally did not happen. It's not that they said Israel bombed and killed 500, and it turns out that Israel did bomb them, but only killed 450. This was a made-up story that the world reported as news. So not the same. Try again, troll. But then we had the yeah, Mark, you have something to you want to jump in.
I was just going to say, people are inclined to believe, the fictions coming out of the tribe they agree with. They're inclined to be very uncharitable in their interpretations of any Israeli action or any news coming out against Israel. They're inclined to believe that because that's the tribe they're behind. So again, I mean, this is tribalist, collectivistic nonsense. Getting behind a certain narrative and not allowing the facts to interfere. And as you said, the number was revised down of Israel casualties because they care about the truth and they care about reporting the truth, which is not what Hamas or the Hamas-run health ministry cares about. They care about winning the war by other means. Since the Arabs cannot beat the Israelis in with brute force, they're trying to demoralize them with fake news.
Yeah. Now, so after El Ali, Hamas had to kind of change a bit about how they do what they do. But then we had the so-called flower massacre a couple of weeks ago. We did a whole show on that. That was the stampede in which some Palestinians died trying to get to an aid convoy. Others apparently died shot by Israeli soldiers when they ran at them, and Israeli soldiers decided that they don't want to be lynched, so they shot at them, and apparently they shot at their legs first. I don't know why this is a part of where Israel is absolutely wrong and how you absolutely shoot to kill in such situations, but Israel unfortunately cares about the how people who ha already hate Israel view them than the lives of the soldiers. So the flower massacre, blood libel worked well. It was reported. It was, accepted as truth. So yesterday we had another convoy massacre where apparently in this situation, Palestinian gunmen shot at other Palestinians, which of course we know happens. By the way, we've seen and shown, and maybe Daniel, if you have it handy, we can show again on this show how Palestinians treat an aid convoy coming in. Yeah, let's get to it, and let's get to that video of the video of the guy, the Palestinian guy. This is in Arabic. If you are listening to this on a podcast, you will not get any of what he says unless you speak Arabic. But anyway, if you were watching, there are subtitles. This is of course from Memory TV, who do excellent work with such stuff. يا
رهبة
ريت.
جماعة مش شوي وصلتنا المساعدات الأمريكية تمام يلي نزلنا من الجو. شوف عليه يا جماعة، أنا حورجيك إياها تمام حبة حبة، أشياء يعني ليس لها علاقة بالأكل، ريحتها كريهة جدا تمام. هيها شوف علي، أنا يعني ما قبلتش المساعدات جتنا من الجو من الأردن، حقبلها من دولة شريكة تجويعنا وشريكة بهذه الإبادة الجماعية، مش فاهم، أنا مش داخلة عقلي تمام. على العموم يعني هاي المساعدات أنا ممكن أقبلها من دول عربية أو من البرازيل أو من دول جنوب أفريقيا، من الدول الداعمة لفلسطين ولغزة تمام، وحقبلها لما تجيني من معبر رفح أو أي معبر تاني أوكي، تجيني عشان إحنا بني آدمين، ما تجيناش من الجو أوكي. هذه مكانها واحد وحيد، هاي المساعدات تنحط بكيس أسود زي هذا أوكي، وبتنحط ثواني أورجيك وين، وبترتمي في الجماعة اللي زي هذه.
Yeah, I'm not muted, right? Yeah, I was watching one of the early episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm yesterday, and there was a scene where somebody on the street is begging for money, and Larry David walks by, and he has this bag of food, I guess leftovers or something, and he asks them, "Do you want this?" And the homeless guy says, "What is it?" And he says, "It's tuna." And then the homeless guy says, "I don't like tuna." Yeah, that is I think the this approach in a nutshell, except the homeless guy was probably in that story actually homeless and not in this situation where you're picking and choosing what it is. Like, he's not just complaining about who sent it. It's who sent it, the fact that they dropped it from the air, and the fact that he doesn't like this specific type of food. It's not his it's not his go-to.
Yeah, starving people don't make those kinds of distinctions. Starving people will take whatever they can get. So clearly, he's not in crisis if he's able to make those kinds of distinctions and be picky about the food that he gets. And if they're MREs, so their meals ready to eat are essentially food that the American military eats, is not good enough for him. So that just that should give any reasonable viewer pause and make them check their premises about the humanitarian crisis being trumpeted by the establishment media, because I've never seen a crisis like this. Also, Pollywood is very very fond of posting pictures of emaciated children who are clearly ill, like they have cancer, they have some kind of Wasting's disease going on, and other like a constellation of other things, with fat parents all around them. And they will post these pictures and attempt to blame that child's condition on starving Palestinian children. And as phony as it is, I mean, it literally requires even a concrete bound mentality couldn't look at that and say, this is fake. There's something else happening here. But even knowing that, they post it shamelessly, knowing that it's going to get purchased with enough people to magnify that voice.
Yeah. So we I don't know if we have the video ready yet. We showed it in the past, but we'll show it again today. Thank you, Mary Aline, and thank you, Bonnie, for the super chats. Who was it here that said Apollo Zeus said it wasn't lobster and caviar? Well, maybe it was tuna. But anyway, Daniel, is the video ready?
No, cannot seem to locate
All
it.
right. Well, I did kind of drop it on you out of the blue that, but we've seen some of those videos, but there are things that we haven't seen. For example, like the we haven't shown, like the truck driver who was lynched to death. Again, these are Egyptians, Arabs driving aid into Gaza. I mean, they're dropping it from the air, some countries, supposedly because Israel doesn't let enough of it through, but Israel lets all of it through, and it's actually a risk They're risking their lives, the drivers driving trucks into their into that territory. And again, we go back to this point about who the Palestinian people are and what that says about you if you support them. The fact that they claim to be in a crisis, these drivers are just bringing them food, and they get attacked and in some cases killed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why the pictures of those broken windshields and bloodied truck cabins are not circulating more intensely on social media. It must be the algorithms or something now that the pro-Palestinian people are dominating, because that should again reverse people's positions on the crisis in Gaza. It is completely self-caused to the degree that there is one over there. I mean, forget it. I don't know what else I was going to say.
Well, we have that video, and Daniel, please mute it because there's some weird music that goes along with it. But look, this is not Hamas. We also had a video that we showed Hamas, armed terrorists taking over these convoys. This is not Hamas. This is the Palestinian people, just seeing trucks come in, bring food to those supposedly starving people. And by the way, so
I mean,
that's
Razi, I don't understand the logic of it. I don't. It's like that whole region has lost its collective mind. What is the logic behind destroying trucks that are bringing aid into Gaza?
logic is a big word for these people. So I don't know. There is no logic. I saw a heartbreaking, for other reasons, video a few days ago, yesterday maybe, of Jose Andres, the celebrity chef. It was heartbreaking to me because my favorite restaurant is a Jose Andres restaurant, and now I'm reluctant to go there. And he's talking about how how he's building kitchens in Gaza and helping people. And as part of it, he explains that some of the aid doesn't get to its destination, some, especially the ones that are going to the north, because if they're going from Egypt all the way to the north, I don't know, it's like a what, 20, 30, 40 minute drive, you're going to get attacked at some point. And he justifies the attacks by saying, well, some people are so starving that they just are going to stop whatever truck they
Yeah.
see.
Again, that doesn't stop. Are they stopping and looting the trucks because they're so starving? From what I understand, they're just, harming the drivers.
They are. So they are looting those trucks, and we've heard stories about some people take it and then sell it. So there's all sorts of things you can do there with that. So Mary Aline, thank you for the super chat. Mary Aline says, "How hungry are you if you turn down any food that's offered? I've seen local billboards showing a clean, obviously well-fed kid named Henry with a caption, 'It hurts to be hungry.' Ludicrous."
Again, this is a conflict where the assertions are all that matter. All you have to do is make the assertion, and the narrative does the rest.
And James Valiant actually brings us back to this point. He says, "Self-inflicted suffering is an explicit strategy, gents, from the start." Yeah, because this, if you are showing the suffering, people don't question it. I was watching an interview with Richard, is it Richard Landis, the guy who actually came up with the term Pallywood, talking about how he came up with it in the first place. And this is, people who have a long memory will remember the Muhammad al-Dura incident. This was a kid who was shot and killed, and there's video of that was shown originally on a French news channel of his father trying to shield him, and he gets shot and killed. Now you don't see him shooting. You don't see basically you don't you see him being shot and killed, and that was then reported as Israel targeted that kid and shot him. which is, of course, bullshit. Anybody who knows anything about Israel knows that that is not something Israel would do, and that is something that if a soldier did, on his own accord, he would pay a heavy price. Unlike a Palestinian who killed an Israeli kid, who gets government a reward from the government in the form of money that we are paying them in as taxes.
So what was the real story?
So I don't know if they're 100% sure to this day what the real story is. I think what was what seemed to be the case is that he wasn't shot by Israel, which is, of course, it's again not something that Israel does. So who shot him is a good question. It might be the Palestinians, but the fact that you just have to show something, and we've done many shows at this point on Owen Jones, and even when he's not the topic, he is the topic. And I've said about one of the things with Owen Jones is he went to watch the movie of the horrors that the IDF showed to journalists, the horrors from October 7th, and he pays lip service to these were atrocities at the beginning, and then he goes for 25 minutes on about how there's no proof of a bunch of things. When you see him report about the Palestinians, there is never a question of proof. There is a picture of a baby or a supposed baby. There is a picture of ruins of a house. There are pictures because a Peikoff, Leonard Peikoff had this great lecture, a picture is not an argument. Well, for this side of this conflict, only pictures are arguments, because if you try to, come up with an intellectual case for supporting these savages, you will fail.
Indeed, indeed. And unfortunately, we have a culture that has been so epistemologically reduced by the education system that they can't get beyond a picture as an argument.
Yeah, so I mean, when I again, one of the reasons we keep talking about this is not because October 7th happened, it's because how the world has reacted since, from open anti-Semitism, like wherever there are Jews doing anything in the West, there will be protesters shutting it down, shutting down a concert in Chicago, or just any event where there are Jews. Those of us who follow Israeli sports teams know that they play away games in Europe, and there is always a protest because the Jews are in town, and they must be told what the problem is. So for me, it is not the fact that Palestinians do these videos. It is the fact that or show these pictures. It is the real guilty people are those in the West who say there is a humanitarian crisis in Gaza, when they know this is not the case, and have been saying it from before the recent attempts to do that, to promote this narrative. They've been saying there's a humanitarian crisis, in demanding that Israel not shut down the electricity and the water, which Israel said it would do and did for a few hours right after October 7th. They did this as part of their demand to allow humanitarian aid, which also Israel in the first few days said they will not allow until all the hostages are released. Well, the hostages have not been half or so of the hostages have not been released. Who knows what they're going through there? And Israel keeps feeding the people who are torturing the hostages and who are killing Israeli soldiers and hoping to kill Israeli citizens. And so we've been talking about how every time something like this happens, it ju doesn't just fo follow in terms of news coverage. Or alleged news coverage being essentially anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian propaganda, but policy follows. So after the so-called Flower Massacre, some countries in Europe who said they will no longer fund UNRWA changed their mind and started funding UNRWA again, including the EU itself. The US decided to build a port. Would it have made that decision to build a port if there was no Flower Massacre? I don't know. So When the Palestinians make these movies, they know these videos, they know exactly what is what the result will be, and we are playing into their hands. It's like Hamas wrote the script for this, and we're all just reading our lines.
Yeah, well, it's easy for them. All they have to do is appeal to altruism, and the culture does the work for them.
Lewis says in the chat, send them a box. Oh no, this is not the one I wanted to read. It was something about, oh yeah, send them bacon, sausages, and black pudding.
Yes.
If you are starving, you will eat that. By the way, you should eat that even if you're not starving. But anyway, there's an Israeli left-wing organization, I would say treasonous organization, that in response to the protests that I've said are the only protests I would happily participate in, which is Israelis trying to block humanitarian aid from crossing into Gaza. In response, there was a left-wing organization that decided to send trucks of their own, like they're driving trucks to Gaza to try to get into Gaza with aid. I've said, I think this is maybe the one. Those are the only trucks I would let in. I would let them in, but part of the agreement is they're not getting, released in any future hostage exchange, and maybe they're not getting released anyway, and they can stay there. But yeah, so I think Israel's whole, Israel's belief in its own cause is unfortunately something that wasn't strong enough at the beginning. It's going away now. We've said Israel should have acted on October 7th, on October 8th. That's when it should have acted. It should have, bombed, carpet bombed Gaza to the point where many, many times as many as Hamas's health ministry says were killed actually would have been killed, and then the rest could have been encouraged to go elsewhere, and then Israel would actually have a chance at peace. But unfortunately, allowing the other side to control the narrative and control the action that follows the narrative is unfortunately a guaranteed way to lose a war.
Yeah, amen. I mean, since the Vietnam War, I think vicious people like this have realized that most wars are fought on two fronts. They're fought in the battlefield and they're fought in the PR realm. And if you can capture the narrative in PR, especially now with social media, and magnify your voice and make it the dominant voice of the campaign, of the moral campaign, the justification for one side or the other, then you stand a good chance of demoralizing the defenders to such a degree that you win the war by other means. So it's clear that the Palestinians can't fight a regular st stand-up battle against the Israelis. So they're going to try to win the hearts and minds of the people around the Israelis to put enough pressure on them to demoralize them and make them stop fighting.
Yeah, Vered says in the chat, I've seen obvious Pallywood even on mainstream media. Yeah, that is the whole point of the industry. I mean, we have a Hollywood actor here with me who can tell you there are different people with different roles. Somebody has to produce, somebody has to go get the funding, somebody has to be in charge of casting and distribution, and then you need people acting on the movie and all that stuff. And the Pallywood industry is just as clearly organized. I don't know if as formally organized, but yeah, the mainstream media, they have the people on the ground producing the stuff, and then they are in charge of distribution. Is that a correct assessment, Mark, or analogy?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And they put this stuff up with greater or lesser effectiveness. And actually, it doesn't matter how badly acted or how obviously false the little films are or the pictures are, because as I said, it gets a purchase with some people, and those people magnify that voice, and then it's there permanently.
And we've seen and shown, like on CNN, on Al Jazeera, multiple incidents of a body bag suddenly the head moving, in the body bag, or somebody who's dead but opens
Their eyes.
his eye. Yeah, Daniel says, Pallywood needs better casting. They don't fake death that well. No, they don't need better casting, because it doesn't matter. It's still.
I just saw one recently where the camera happened to find two kids who were, picking up, I don't know, a little pile of grain that happened to be in the middle of this street, muddy street, and they're putting it into their bags while plump people are walking around them as if nothing's happening. And that's supposed to be illustrative of the crisis in Palestine and starving children. And there's always fat adults around the starving kids, by the way. So it's like if you have an ounce of reason in you have there's like it's the Palestinians are painting themselves into a no-win situation. You're either stealing all the food from the children that are starving, or this is bullshit.
I mean, maybe they were morbidly obese 5 months ago and now they're just fat. That
In
could
which
be an
case,
explanation.
then there's a case to be made in Hollywood for the Palestinian diet. Better than Ozempic.
Well, we found a positive note to end on, and I know the reality show is late. We're going to be talking about Chuck Schumer telling Israel basically what to do internally. That's going to be fun.
No, Chuck
Mark.
Schumer, come on.
Well, Chuck Schumer actually said that Netanyahu should go, which, I agree with, but I don't want the US telling Israelis how to run their country. I think that is not a step in the right direction, but I think the US has been taking steps in the wrong direction since sometime like a week after October 7th. So yeah, that is coming up. Mark, you are joining me tomorrow to talk about that famous Lex Fridman debate that was just released. We're going to have to endure 5 hours of Finkelstein in preparation for that, but I don't know if
Your
we'll
four and
have
a
it.
half hours of it is Finkelstein saying one sentence.
Well, just hearing him, his voice, it doesn't matter. He can read from the phone book and I'll be annoyed. But anyway, thanks, Mark. I'll see you tomorrow. And thanks, everybody. The reality show starts in a minute.